Welcome to another installment of New Books in Poetry. I am your host, Jen Fitzgerald. Rodrigo Toscano's newest book of poetry, and the one we will be discussing today, is Explosion Rock Springfield, Fence Books 2016. His previous books include Deck of Deeds, Collapsible Poetics Theater, a National Poetry Series selection, To Leveling Swerve, Platform, Partisans, and the Disparities. His poetry has appeared in the anthologies Voices Without Borders, Diasporic Avant-Gardes, Imagined Theaters, In the Criminal's Cabinet, Earthbound, and Best American Poetry. Toscano has received a New York State Fellowship in Poetry. He works for the Labor Institute in conjunction with the United Steelworkers, the National Institute for Environmental Health Science, Communication Workers of America, and National Day Laborers Organizing Network. Toscano lives in the Bayou St. John Faubourg of New Orleans. Welcome, Rodrigo.
Oh, hi. How are you, Jennifer?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
Good, good.
So we want to learn a little bit about you before we start talking about your work. So would you please tell us where you're from originally?
I was born in San Diego, California. I grew up there, and I had a borderland kind of upraising. I lived on both sides of the border at various times because I had family on both sides. But I went to schools in the United States, K through 12. And I lived there until about age 20. Then I moved to the Southwest, Santa Fe to be specific, for a number of years. Came back to San Diego, and in my early 30s, I moved to San Francisco and lived there for about 5 years. And then from there, I moved to New York City, in Brooklyn, and I lived there 16 years. And just this last August 2015, I moved to New Orleans, and this is where I am now.
So out of all these places, is there one that you most closely connect to home?
Well, I would say most definitely, where I'm from, especially given the sort of, cultural, background, that I come from, Spanish is my first language, actually. Mm-hmm. It's my home language. And, I actually read and write and speak in both languages, pretty well. That's what I would call home in terms of connectedness. Mm-hmm. I've been away from California for a long time. I lived in New York, I think 16 years. I know you'd have to tell me, Jennifer, you from there, how much of a New York attitude I had. I think I had. I think we talked about this before. It's. I think it's in my bones, the whole New York experience.
You definitely have the Brooklyn swagger, for sure.
Yeah, 16 years, And then working with the populations that I work with, with the unions, the utility workers, specifically in New York City, mm-hmm. The steel workers, and having contact with those very fundamental populations, that also got into my bones, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. So is it true that you compete in marathons and triathlons?
I don't, it's funny. I'm a middle distance runner. And what that is, 5K, 10K, and up to half marathon. That's called a middle distance runner, though a half marathon is a pretty long way, 13.1 miles. That's called middle distance. And I was part of, one of the founders of the North Brooklyn Runners, a club that now is in third place out of over 100, teams in the New York area. And I competed in what's called Masters Division. That's at the time it was people over 40 in my age group. And then now I'm what they call a Grandmaster because I'm now 51. I'm going on 52. So running is a very, very important part of my entire deal.
Yeah, absolutely. So what poet first brought you to poetry?
Ooh, well, that's,
you didn't think this was going to be easy, did you?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Very early I had, encounters with what we call the New American Poets, right? The anthology. Mm-hmm. That would be, like New York School and Beat Poetry and anybody who was in that anthology, right? I was initially kind of attracted to like people like Gary Snyder. I did all the, I very studiously covered all of the modernists, you know, from Pound to HD to people like that. And then obviously people like, you know, International, like Neruda, mm-hmm. Lorca, and, you know, German poets. But also very early in my poetic sort of career, I set off to study, you know, ancient poetry. To this day, yeah, I read, for example, I'm sitting here at a desk and I'm looking at a new translation of Petronius, you know, Arbiter, and another book of Seneca. So I read a lot of Roman literature, actually. And many years after I started doing it in translation level, I managed to sort of teach myself, a good amount of Latin so that I can read it in Latin and enjoy the poetry in that way. But that's been that particular set of literature has been very influential for me because it gives me some distance on the society that I live in, which is always threatens to sort of, you know, invade one is completely invaded by contemporary, by one's contemporaries and contemporary issues. But it's good to look back on a different historical period so that you know how other people might have handled it, right? Or how to give you a sense that what you're doing isn't a span of time, you know?
Mm-hmm. I do. So for listeners who may not be familiar with your work or your approach to content, before I ask you to read a couple of pages from the new book, is there anything that you would like to suggest as they enter into it for the first time?
Well, I mean, I could say here now, I guess, because I'll probably say it later. Springfield, refers to Springfield, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And some years ago, 7-8 years ago, there was an explosion in Springfield, a very powerful gas explosion that that could have been extremely, dangerous. I mean, fatal, could have been very fatal. And it actually happened in the strip club at midday. And there were people in the establishment and the owner had the good presence of mind to, tell everybody to go across the street, wait in the cafeteria. And people left. And as soon as they left, the place exploded and took down several blocks with it. Now, next to that strip club was a daycare. And on that particular day, people were on a field day, and so they weren't there. And so it was a very, when you work in health and safety and union work, and when you hear of an explosion that big, and you hear that nobody got killed, it's a good day, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it could have been catastrophic. And so, but I remember reading about it, and I think the title might have been Explosion Rock Springfield, and maybe the subtitle was something to the effect of, which is the refrain in the book of poetry, which is repeats over and over, right? It's that, the Friday evening gas explosion in Springfield leveled a strip club next to a daycare. Mm-hmm. And so that, When I read that, obviously it was very surprising, right? Leveled a strip club next to a daycare. I was like, okay, well, but that in that one line, I thought, well, I can get a lot of it. So I started thinking, what is daycare? What is life? Really, that's the question that came to mind. What is life and what is everything? What is gas? What does it mean to explode? Where is Springfield? So all these questions, I just found a lot of meaning in that one line. So I thought I'd start exploring the meaning of that line. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And just do it over and over. I did one section. I remember one or two sections, and I thought, wow, that's a little poem, and that's it. That's good. It's an orphan. A poem part of a larger work. I'll just hang on to it, maybe send it to a journal. But then I looked at it like a couple of weeks later, and I added another variation, and then a little bit after that, another variation. I thought, well, this is kind of a longish poem, right? And then I thought, what if I just stuck to this and just did it for months on end? And that's kind of what I did, very assiduously. And that's how I came up with this book. I had a lot of fun writing it. And it actually, It actually got me to talk about a lot of different things that I've always wanted to talk about,
Mm-hmm.
about, you know, my views on kind of linguistics. If you really want to know kind of how I feel about language, you know, you can look at this book, see how I treat language. If you want to know how, what portions of my work in health and safety sort of interest me, you can kind of see that in the work. You can kind of see my kind of kooky, attractions to different timescapes, you know,
Mm-hmm.
like messing with timescapes, neologisms,
Mm-hmm.
and also, you know, exercising different forms of writing poetry, right?
Yeah.
So there's pieces in there that kind of look a little bit kind of like conceptual lists. There's other pieces that kind of look more lyrical. There's other sort of more brittle verse line, you know, inquiry type lines. And so it's, you know, yeah.
So let's hear the first three pages of the collection, and then I want to ask you a little bit more about the group as a whole. So could you please read pages 1 through 3?
Absolutely. The Friday evening gas explosion in Springfield leveled a strip club next to a daycare. What is explosion to a slab of drywall? What is drywall exactly? Hi ho! Why do people strip? What is daycare? Why day? What is night care? Why daylight? Why daylight? Why daylight? What is care exactly? Gas. Where from gas? Why gas in cylindrical hollows? Friday, the day after Thursday, the day before Saturday. Always. How goes gas in there? Surging, surging, surging in predetermined patterns. 4, bodily needs and discomforts. The Friday evening gas explosion in Springfield leveled a strip club next to a daycare. Thank you for relating the gas explosion in Springfield on Friday. And what did gas do to a pair of brownstones in the Brooklyn township of Greenpoint that same night? In predetermined patterns, surging did not level one household of college adjunct professor plus labor coordinator next to one household of finance speculator plus boutique entrepreneur. What is stripping? Precisely. What is care? Approximately. Hi ho! How dry is drywall? The Friday evening gas explosion in Springfield leveled a strip club next to a daycare. No stripping then. No daycare then. Was Springfield Springfield then? Is Springfield Springfield now? Has Springfield ever been Springfield? What is implosion? What is explosion? Hi ho! What is it to plode?
Thank you very much. So you mentioned that you wrote one piece and then you returned to it and you thought it was going to be a long poem and then it turned into these segments. So how long exactly did it take for the entire book to be written?
It took about, I think, 8 or 9 months.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And would you consider this to be a book-length poem or a series of poems sharing the same name?
I think they're individual poems related that sort of pivot around, you know, that one prompt line, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I, you know, in I guess strictly speaking, you might call them variations.
Mm.
You know, like you would like Bach's Goldberg variations or Beethoven's Diabelli variations, and that's something that influences me too. I often think more in terms of a musician than a sort of writer in terms of structure. And you can kind of tell that too in how I sort of accent
mm-hmm.
kind of certain words and it kind of stalls and sort of suspensions and transpositions of theme. You know, it's all, music is very a big part of my thinking. I grew up playing classical music and piano and jazz. So I still play. But and it's not like I sit down and think, oh, how am I going to, you know, transpose a musical concern into a poetic? I think I just do it
mm-hmm.
Naturally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what interests me. That's what keeps me writing.
Mm. So the language for you very much is like sheet music.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, and every time I read it, I read a little bit different. And so yeah, and like a performer would interpret. a particular piece in a particular way, given kind of what they think about the piece at that time in their sort of artistic trajectory. That's how I read my own work.
Yes.
I mean, I might not read it the same years from now, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you treat the reading of your work as an entirely separate art form. There's a stark difference between what is on the page and what is heard. So do you think that it is important to listen to a poet read their work and not just read it off the page?
I see what you're saying, though. I would say that if you're looking at the back now, and hopefully when people look at the book, they'll see I do leave a lot of sort of clues in the score as to how to write. How to, how much to emphasize a word. I usually use italics, you know, how to sink into a word. I usually use something in a quote. Something's a little bit suspended. All caps is sort of an exclamatory moment. And then the lines themselves, right? How long they go on. When I start a new line, in terms of when I'm reading it in live, you know, people can see that it's actually a new line, you know. On the page as well. So there's a reinitiation of utterance that I'm very true to in my reading. Now, in the kind of rhythm that I use and the kind of coloration and intonation, well, that's just particular to my instrument, you know, the way that I read, you know, muscularly, the way that I hear it as I'm reading it, right? That's particular. But the outlines of the poem are, I think a lot of people could get it once they hear one page read like that. Then they go, okay, this is what this means in Toscanoese, you know.
So let's hear some of the pieces that maybe reflect what we're talking about. Would you read the poem starting on page 20 until 23?
The Friday evening gas explosion in Springfield level strip club next to a daycare. In cylindrical hollows, my attention. In cylindrical hollows, my visioning. In cylindrical hollows, my remembrance. In cylindrical hollows, my devotion. In cylindrical hollows, my fear. In cylindrical hollows, my escape. In cylindrical hollows, my discovery. In cylindrical hollows, my occlusion. In cylindrical hollows, my pradapistat explosivity. The Friday evening gas explosion in Springfield left a strip club next to a daycare. All right, so let's get this straight. After he locked out, tagged out the CO valve, then what? I bled the premise out points to harmonize the incoming to optimum. You bled the premise out points to harmonize the incoming to optimum. Yes. Were the valve caps sealed to spec? The tag out said they were. Did you log that tag out? Yes. Where's the log kept? Central office. What's that beauty cake tattoo on your forehead about? It's my way of assing. 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 It's your way of, all right, who? Hi ho! What is it to sprint? Friday evening gas explosion in Springfield little strip club next to a daycare. Got it. So before you remove toss, okay, toss the tiara, sweet roughy. Sweet roughy, all right. Before the sweet roughy is tossed as? Not before, as. Got it. As the sweet roughy is tossed, the baby spoon find its way into the laws of four millennia synchronized by an immense gas cloud clock at the edge of the galaxy, pumping, thumping beats. You got it, honey.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This, of course, will beg, what research did you do? Because so much of this feels as though it was language that could have been pulled from transcripts or pulled from your everyday work.
Well, you know, my job is I work in health and safety, is an incident investigation person. I'm also, I've two licenses, OSHA licenses, Occupational Safety and Health Administration license, one in construction safety and the other one in general industry safety. So I'm really involved in this kind of work through both the unions and the National Institute of Environmental Health Science. And so for me to sort of use that kind of language comes very naturally, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't see the exact transcripts to this particular incident, especially the ones about the lockout tagout aspect of the gas pipes. But it's true to form in the sense that those are the questions that would be asked. You know, where's the log? When's the last time you logged it? You know, what were the specifications? That's very routine. And so I can use that as a sort of frame. And then I add the other sort of more poetic stuff, the sort of sub themes that are running through the book, right? As you read the book, you see it starts to pick up, you might say subplots, but these subplots, really sort of pivot around words themselves, you know, what the words sort of point to and kind of what they give off is sort of aftertone content, if you will. Mm-hmm. But then also there's other movements in the poem that I do find like a sprinkler that went, you know, that was inoperable. And I do research on that sprinkler and find out, you know, where it was manufactured, where it was shipped to, what port did it go to, who distributed it nationally, what warehouse did it come out of, who handled it, who put it in, who, you know what I'm saying? So there's a cool section, a couple cool sections in the book where I am very much to spec and research bound, but I'm not that kind of poet who's so to spec, you know, they'll sacrifice the sort of, I don't know how else to put it, but the sort of poetic flow of what I'm trying to get at, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm sort of a half and half syncretic thinker in that way. Mm-hmm. Our good friend Mark Nowak is very good at finding the actual records of mining accidents and, you know, all sorts of good stuff like that. And then there's people who kind of just do a sort of super poetic glaze on sort of material, you know, happenings and aren't to spec in any way whatsoever. There's no girders there, right? Holding it into any kind of reality whatsoever. I guess I like the tension, right? Between the two modalities. And I try to offer that in not only in the movements themselves, but across the movements in the book.
Mm. I like that idea, the tension of the two modalities.
Yeah.
On a more abstract level, this explosion resonated with you, obviously. So it feels to me almost like you're trying to sort through the literal and metaphorical rubble to see what went right with this, why nobody died, why something so enormous and so potentially fatal did not hurt anyone.
Yeah, I think that would be a more journalistic concern, what you just sort of said there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a sort of journalistic sort of interest in it. You know what I'm saying? The incident sort of kicked off a sort of a deep philosophical inquiry in my thinking. You know, like for example, you know, what is, you know, the Friday evening gas explosion in Springfield level strictly next to a daycare. So what is care mean, you know, in a sort of, mm-hmm. from an anthropological point of view, right? Cultural point of view. What is stripping? You know, what is that exactly? Like if you were to look at it from just a sort of, at a remove and, you know, so I tried to look for deeper meanings in the headline and then, so I would explore each word and each phenomenon in that sub headline. And then, yes, and then return to the sort of, you know, the incident at hand, right? Like the actual explosion, from the perspective of not only the materials, the debris left after, right? The actual debris that was left after the explosion. But what was the meaning debris or the debris of meaning left after the incident itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a cultural linguistic phenomenon that I was looking at. So it's like I'm sorting through words, right? Like I would, exactly, like debris. I'm trying to put it together, trying to put a society or a moment in time and history back together enough to be able to tell it, you know, to somebody.
Yeah.
And that telling is going to be obviously fragmented. It's going to be disjoint, and it's going to have moments of sort of material brilliance as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So
yeah, like on the cover, right? There's that picture of that shoe. I don't know what kind of shoe that is. It's like a high-heeled.
That's strap. A stripper shoe. You know what that is.
A stripper, yeah. It's a stripper shoe. I'm trying to be so up. And you can see it. Yeah, and it's standing upright, and there it is, and it's whole. And then behind it is like all this brick and mesh and, you know, papers and whatnot. And so, yeah, something like that, you know.
Mm. So have there been any other incidents or occurrences throughout your professional career that have, I guess, acted as a catalyst for this kind of?
No, you know, I do very singular pieces of work. You know what I'm saying? I think you know that. Like each book that I write has its own sort of aesthetic
mm-hmm.
concern, aesthetic way of talking about culture, about existence, about relations, about language, right?
Yep.
So this one was a very particular one, and I have no clue, you know, what's going to follow this. Actually, I do, but it's a whole other conversation. But it's completely, entirely different than this one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the one that came before this, Deck of Deeds, you know, it was a whole other bunch of stuff, completely different. So to answer your question sort of more directly, have there other been any other instances where an incident generated so much content, right?
Yes.
And I would say no, not in this way. There's been flex of incidences that sort of leak into the work as a line or something like that. But no, nothing is sort of startling in this one. And I think, Jennifer, the reason is because there were a few injuries among the first line responders, like fire people, and the gas line worker got injured. But the fact that there was no deaths for that industrial accident of that magnitude, I think we both could agree, was nearly miraculous.
Oh yeah.
So it's a good day, right?
It was a very good day.
And they're so shot, and there's so many plant managers. I hate to say it, and I wish it weren't true, that, you know, will take the easy road out and have people keep producing things while danger is in their midst. And then the hazard, you know, unfolds in time and space, and it ends up, you know, hurting somebody or killing somebody. So I found it unusual, too, that somebody had the presence of mind to clear their workers out of the way so immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so something like that. The book has a lot of sort of sub-running themes. You know, there's multiple locations. There's obviously, you know, Springfield, Massachusetts. There's also a meditation in the book you might remember about Sumeria. You know, with the Sumerians, there's sections in the book kind of dealing with the Sumerians. And the reason is because Sumerians, you know, used writing as a form of tabulation and epic tale telling. Like many of their tablets are about, you know, how many bushels of wheat, how many slaves, how many, you know, it's just pure tabulation. And then the other aspect of their writing had to do with, you know, laws, right?
Yeah.
And also about epics, right? And about cosmos. What are the cosmos about? And so I kind of return to that in a few sections. And then I jump over to the Romans, and they were actually interested in a lot of urbanization, right? A lot of what do we do with all this, the effluvia of people amassed in a busy sort of city, you know? So I talk a little bit about the sewage system there, you know? and so that's kind of just like my fancy, because I have I spend a lot of time thinking and meditating about history. You know, when I see things, I try to think, okay, what is this? Well, if this is like this in our time, how did it happen in some other time? You know, how did people sort of produce society? How were children raised? How were people? What were the relations between, you know, the sexes? What were the relations between, you know, different cultures? And so So that kind of stuff comes into the book kind of really naturally, I think. It's not really a forced thing. It just happens to be my palette of interests.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Let's hear another segment, if you would. How about pages 38 through 41?
38. The Friday evening gas explosion in Springfield left a strip club next to a daycare. Springfield, bleeding Springfield. Croydon. Kish, seat of Sumer, released. Procession of as one. Horns, drums, harps, in precise patterns, beats, pulsing. Arterial valves, floating. Bubbled oxygen, surging, amassing, quivering bellies. What is it to lust, city? What is it to take, country? How goes high, ho, everywhere, at once? The Friday evening gas explosion in Springfield level strip club next to a daycare. This barter pie tattoo is for the discerning, flashed while in cat crawl, after the eyes of jewels, before the limb tossing, as the lyric settles, siphoning up the beat. Inspire fire, inspire fire. Love it, because by then, discerning gentlefolk are inside the ductwork. Sochis, prate on concern. Cappies, straight up applaud. We just say sapienized, meaning mother's keepsakes, cloaking, fraba jabba, set to plode left or right. So that's how I girl up every night to make this acid skate. My real name is Lulu Chateau. Yes, I publish poems. No, I've never heard of you. Friday evening gas explosion in Springfield level strip club next to a daycare. The Jupiterian midday lead effusion on Ganymede liquefied a zinc bed next to a crater rim. The Uranian morning argon ionization on Oberon dispersed a helium clod next to an ammonium pool. The Neptunian magnetosphere at dusk on Triton catalyzed carbon dioxide to glow red next to a haze of methane blue. The Saturnian midnight hydrogen fission at the core vaporized iron sludge next to a vent of nucleated nickel. The Mercurian afternoon potassium excretion at the crust sucks sodium into a xenon vacuole next to a krypton spatter cone. The Martian nitrogen demisting at daybreak in the Mare Erythraeum made visible a silicon chunklet next to a silicon chunklet. The Venusian early evening volcanic updrafts into the troposphere rain down sulfur clods into the neon whirlpool next to the Venera 8 wreckage heap. The Friday evening gas explosion in Springfield leveled a strip club next to a day care. The Liberty Box checked the spec, as did the libidinal lines at the thought crossers. Strange thing was the gonad gauge didn't register the need switches. Good thing the big O override tripped the care breakers right then. I'm sure that's what kicked in the ego ventilator, eventually firing up a poetic alarm. The locked out, tagged out American, that's the working title. Sure, as soon as this draft is stabilized, I'll pop it to you. Oh, one more thing. The personal protection equipment locker was found to be broken into, but no one's been seen wearing this distinctive yellow high-res baby doll nightie.
Thank you very much. You are obviously a poet who trusts their creative impulse, so can you tell us a little bit about your creative process?
So when I write something, I hear what I've just written. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I have an idea. So I have an idea, and then I write what I want to write, and then the idea is now on the floor, and then, you know, with its own two legs. It's not like that how I write. Well, how I write is I think of a line, you know, a word or a line, at most a few words that sort of are straining to represent something. You know, and that's key, straining to represent something. And then after that line is sort of put out in the world, a piece of paper, or then I try to respond in a way to that line. Or if I'm adding something that's not responsive to what I just wrote, then I realize that it's adding volume to what I'm packing together. And so at some point that ongoing construct, or terrain, you know, starts spawning things of its own accord. And then when it starts to get too kind of out of control, in the sense of, you know, these kind of weird animals wanting to sort of do the nasty with the other weird kind of words, then I sort of bring back a referent that grounds the whole thing back into some sort of what we would call, you know, real world or whatever, or you know, a reference that's sort of stable, right? Mm-hmm. I'd say, like, you know, your house or my house or a city, I say the name of the city, something we can kind of all relate to and say, okay, and, you know, New Orleans does exist, you know, in some sense. It's not just two words, you know, it's a real place. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, those kinds of tensions and those kinds of reachings out and those kinds of relandings into moments of stability, you know, followed by instability. That's kind of how I work through all my poetry, mm-hmm. in a way. And not all. Sometimes I might relax and just lay something out or do something very voicey, tell a story in a sort of voicey way. Mm-hmm. But still, I become very quickly aware of the materials that I'm, the potential of the materials I'm using, and try to sort of maximize their, you know, their potential in some way.
Mm-hmm. So is there a revision process, or do you trust the purity of what has come to you?
Oh, no. I mean, if you, like any poet, I think that, you know, if something comes to you in one pop, you know, like you're grateful, you know, mm-hmm. But no, I'll go back and try to repop and re-aim the word or line. And there's a lot of scratches, a lot of, you know, I'm very sort of like, I'm a syncretic sort of composer. You know, like I tile things and I retile things. And then I kind of, in my mind, go through the line and see how the music kind of goes, you know, mm-hmm. See if the words that I'm using are obviously, you know, sort of extending and stretching out meaning, but also to check to see if I've stretched it out, you know, beyond the point of where, like, not, you know, I don't even get it, you know. It's important to me to be understood, you know.
Yes.
Even though I challenge people in a certain way, in many ways, and really it's the way that I'm challenging myself in a certain way. You know, I'm not the kind of person who writes, okay, well, I'm going to write something and I'm just going to sort of play to the spectators, you know, and it's got to the grain of what I'm doing has to sort of make some sense to me in a sort of thrill way, mm-hmm. at least at the beginning for me.
Yes. It's kind of like trusting the reader or bringing them along with you as you try to sort something out.
Right. Yeah. It's almost like I am already reading to people as I'm writing, mm-hmm. you know, but I have the luxury at that moment to sort of rework it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So for the last segment that we're going to ask you to read, would you please read the poems on pages 78 through 80?
The Friday evening gas explosion in Springfield levels strip club next to a daycare. She wishes she could weave words in space made of each letter's squiggly string. For instance, Friday, its F lancing its stem below, mooring it down sturdy while pulling up F's horizontal top bar till it points straight upwards, and stretching it as it thins out in the distance, superfine string to loop around R's trunk 100 times, tightening a knot around R's curve, leaving a snug hole to pull I's dot into it, I's trunk now alone from both M's. She loops it around D so that D is in a perfect circle. Pleasing, but it's disturbing. The A and Y now outside the circle. She weaves them together in space, their own space, creating an illusion of X. The illusion of X is her refuge now, also her rock-throwing promontory. from inside Friday in Springfield. The Friday evening gas explosion in Springfield leveled a strip club next to a daycare. The love implosion in New Orleans on Sunday morning gave rise to a twilight care next to a mausoleum. At the beginning of every hour, what is to be conjured? What is to be spellstruck? Hi-ho! At the end of every year, are weary eyes equal to standard computer screen definitions? At all times, what is vision? Is vision visionary at every moment of every vision? Give it a rest. We're booked up here. Is vision bent on betting? Is vision in-house? Or is vision helplessly, goofily entranced? Is vision itself in the act of guessing? Or is it vision's thing to make others blind? Frabba-jabba in preternatural patterns, flickering, flashing, floating, the arts, sciences, politics, humanities, death. Doink. Friday evening gas explosion in Springfield leveled a strip club next to a daycare. The Monday morning piano dumping into Lake Pontchartrain infuriated an 8-year-old master rhetorician next to a soft-spoken insomniac mother. A low-pressure system 500 miles east of Honduras generously invited warm air into its lair. Enough to cycle poetry relentlessly northwest by northeast. The Tuesday midday eye of the storm over Brooklyn rendered every sound as of a singular piece of music about to start. Something about cohesion, combustion, care. The Friday evening gas explosion in Springfield leveled a strip club next to a daycare. The Wednesday evening methane bed cargo on a barge from Brooklyn to Pleasant Point remained calm next to three excited seagulls. A 10-foot wall of water, 300 by 300 miles, politely glided under the barge. Enough to lift poetry out of its urban slumber? The Thursday morning pre-conversation tanks in Newtown Creek buckled into 2,000 pounds per square inch of the aesthetics of repurposing. Something about amnesia, compression, stripping.
Thank you very much. It's one of my favorite portions of the book, for sure. So I know that you mentioned that you are reading some ancient texts in translation, but what else are you reading right now?
Well, you know, you know how it is. You know, you get in these journals and you get, you know, they send them to you in the mail. And so right now I'm reading, you know, journals that I've been in. So I'm seeing, so Viz Inter Arts Interventions, you know, the transgenre anthology.
Okay.
Edited by Roxy Hamilton coming out of UC Santa Cruz. It's a very nice big book. I would recommend it. Again, it's called VIZ Inter Arts of Interventions. I'm reading also the Best American Experimental Poetry.
Mm-hmm.
You might know.
Yes.
2015 one that I was also in, edited by Douglas Kearney. Kind of paging through that, catching up on my colleagues' sort of, you know, scribblings. And then Fence Magazine also came out, the new, I think it's the spring issue. And I'm reading that and seeing what that's about. I'm reading a translation, new translation of Sor Juana Inés de la Cruz, the Baroque Mexican poet, and so I'm reading a chapbook, somebody that took a new stab at that.
Wow.
I'm reading Runaway Inequality, which is a really good book. I would highly recommend it, by Les Leopold.
Mm-hmm.
It's a book, a sort of popular education book on sort of, you know, what's about the economic imbalance and inequity in terms of, you know, just as the book says, Runaway Inequality, the Critique of Wall Street. It's a very good book. I highly recommend it.
That's a pretty varied array.
What's that?
That's a pretty varied array of books.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
So what music are you listening to now?
I'm listening to some Haydn quartets. It was the middle period Haydn quartets. I'm playing a sonata. I've been working on a sonata by Haydn, E flat major, number 59.
Mm-hmm.
That one, I've been working on that for, I guess, about 3 months now. Couple sections from the Well-Tempered Clavier. I'm reworking a variation or two from the Goldbergs. Listening to, Jazz Fest just happened here. And you might know the great New Orleans radio station WWOZ.
I did.
90.7 WWOZ New Orleans. You can actually get it on X Radio or whatever. It's listened to internationally. And they play all the local sort of jazz and blues bands. And so I rock out on that, you know, when I can. And then it's great here because you can actually go down the street and go see it. You know, they say, like, you know, in 15 minutes, you know, such a band is going to be playing. And literally I can walk out, beer in hand, and go see them play and then hear them on the radio like 15 minutes later or whatever. So,
Thank you. I want to encourage our readers to go out and pick up this book, Explosion Rock Springfield. It is definitely something that you need to experience in its entirety. I want to thank you, Rodrigo, for sharing your time and work with us.
Thank you, Jennifer. It was fun.
This is Jen Fitzgerald with New Books in Poetry, reminding you to support all the arts, but especially poetry.